All right, we're fist pumping on the fan cam here, Twitch and YouTube, for the final hour of the week here. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live in Denton at Firehouse number 3, 35 in McCormick, here for one more hour before we hand things over to the KNC Masterpiece. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com here in a few minutes. And now it is time, if you're looking on the fan cam, you might be wondering why Choppy looks like he belongs in a Breaking Bad episode. He's matting it up for the first time in the Degenerates history.
Look at this.
Take it away, Chop.
He looks like, what do you say?
He looks like Heisenberg.
He looks like a
looks like Jesse Pinkman.
A California politician circa April 2020.
Wow, very nice. I feel like Marty McFly in Back to the Future 1.
Darth Vader.
Where he goes in and he talks to his dad he doesn't know is his dad, or dad doesn't know it's him. Scares. That's what I feel like right now. The degenerate.
You look good.
Thank you.
You look taller.
I've already tutored in here. That's a problem.
Because
I am. This
that's
is a
hot
hazmat
box.
Suit.
We gotta.
Fix the microphone there, Robert.
How?
I don't know how.
I can't reach it.
I can't either. So here we go. All right. Degenerate action here. Can you open the phone? Because I can't. I don't have fingers. Okay, degenerate action here for you.
Oh, no, the headset is falling off.
On an absolute heater, by the way, okay? I'm on a massive heater when it comes to the degenerate.
He's going to let that smell out right in his
25
face.
Don't release that. 7 air. After a... Thank you, Ruben. 25 and 7 after a 10-10 start. Uh-huh. I'm 25 and 7. So here we go. College. BYU minus 9.5 against Oklahoma State. I already won the Marshall game last night. BYU minus 9.5 against Oklahoma State. Thank you, Bobby.
Where's your mouth?
Right. Oh, that's right. Right. Get there. Your finger out of my mouth. Oh my God. Clemson minus 21.
Do the CD finger sniff.
All right. So BYU minus 9.5 against Oklahoma State. Clemson minus 21 against Virginia. That's enough, Robert. Stop it. Army minus 16 against ECU. Missouri minus 4.5 against Auburn. It's very difficult to see through
look
this.
At the condensation.
I know.
It's building up. I wasn't sure if that was from his breath or from the flatulence.
Tennessee and Alabama under 57. Let me tell you something. Nico.
Alabama can't score. That makes
Nico
sense.
Is 6 for 46 when pressured this year.
Oh. Is he regressing? It feels like in real time
we're watching
him get worse.
He's a freshman. He's playing like a freshman. All right, NFL. He also has the lowest QBR in the SEC.
Well, he's also the only quarterback in football this season, right, to run out of bounds.
With time expired?
The final play.
We don't have to bring that up again. See this. I got some condensation here. Jags, Pats, NFL under 42. Cincy minus 5.5 against Cleveland. Green Bay minus 3 against Houston. Washington minus 8 against Carolina. And Baltimore minus 3.5. I think that says... OTB at Tampa, Baltimore minus 3.5. So there's your degenerate on an absolute heater. Won the Marshall game last night. Won a 14 parlay last week. Bobby didn't lose, didn't win. I won it. I got to get out of this suit, man. Okay?
No, you have to stay in it for the rest of the segment.
Okay, go. Continue.
And I believe Sarah made a request for you to bring it home.
It's a pretty good, bet payoff.
Right, Sarah?
All right, nice work, Chop.
Thank you. You
are on a real heater right now, and you know you are a degenerate. When you're betting on Marshall football games and stuff.
I won. I won last night.
Yeah, you're serious about this stuff. What's the game? Did you have Texas and Georgia in your?
I did not. I did not have that game.
Where do you guys
five and feeling? A half? Five and a half is kind of a dead number. I don't like to bet those numbers generally. I did. I think I took a 5.5. I think it was it was Cincy, but I don't know, man. Like, I could absolutely see Texas run them out of the building. You know, I could see Texas. I got it. I could see Texas run them out of the building.
You think you could see, like, a first half Alabama just tearing up Georgia situation?
I could really see that happen. But I could also see that, you know, Georgia's played like a great team already this year, right? They've had a big time. Texas has not been challenged. They haven't been challenged this year.
Right.
And I don't know if
they're that good.
Well, they might be. They might be. But they haven't been challenged. Michigan wasn't a very good team. They were overrated. Oklahoma's not a very – they got a good defense, but sooner or later they were going to get worn out, and they did. So, like, Georgia's talented. Like, you could make the case that
Georgia has more first-round draft picks on their team this year than Texas does. They're not as deep, though. Texas has got a better quarterback. Texas is a better team.
Yeah, and Texas has the continuity. I think that's the big thing that Sark has been able to do is retain the talent that he has. And now they're walking around with, hey, we have the biggest and best and baddest offensive line, defensive line in the SEC. And that's something that Georgia has had in their back pocket for the last what feels like a half decade. And now Texas is at that point. Bob, obviously I know you have your Texas Longhorn goggles on, but what are you excited about with this game? Where do you see it going?
I mean, the biggest thing is, Georgia's still a really good football team. Like, if it wasn't for really kind of just, you know, peeing down their leg against Alabama in the first part of that game, they played much better in the second half. And that's a run where I still think that Georgia can be, you know, I still think Georgia is one of the five best teams in the country. So they'll challenge Texas, and Texas could absolutely lose this game. I don't think they will. But, I mean, they absolutely could lose this game. It's just Texas right now has consistently shown they are the most complete team in the country. There's no other team in college football right now that's played as well-rounded as Texas has. And that's the thing. The offensive line's great. They've got the passing game going. The running game has gotten going. You're starting to see them generate more of a pass rush. Anthony Hill should win the Bednarik. You know, Muhammad's been great. So they've got a really strong team. The biggest thing for them is they got to stop turning the ball over. Like, Quinn's turned the ball over too much. Arch was throwing a few interceptions. That's the biggest issue for Texas right now is they keep turning the ball over.
You know what? I actually do like being in the suit. It's nice and warm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You starting to
feel
it.
Starting to warm up, starting to feel it. I look like I don't know how they do work in this thing. It is like I'm underwater.
Yeah, I mean, there is, no joke, a lot of condensation building up.
Well, I got hot air, a lot of hot air coming out of my mouth.
It looks like the car window that was underneath in Titanic.
Oh, yeah, that was Kate Winslet's handprint.
Yeah, that was about the time you stopped watching the movie, right?
Oh, no, I kept going. I saw it like three times. Saw it like three times in the theater. You kidding me?
Yeah, that's the movie you went and saw a bunch in the theater.
I just kept going to see it. Yeah,
inexplicably.
Sure.
Makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we have, it's Cowboys bye week, so this NFL slate, you can really sit down. I'll be red zoning. I mean, I got a commercial-free seven-hour date with Scott Hansen on Sunday, and I'm pretty excited about it. There's some really awesome matchups. You have the Texans and the Packers in your degenerate picks.
I got Green Bay.
You got Green Bay covering at home.
Yeah, they're a better team.
Do you feel like, okay, that's what I was...
Houston's a good team, but Houston also is a team that they haven't really played anybody. They don't have a great, like, you know, they haven't... I mean, they've played, like, what, one good team? Like, really good? They got worked by Minnesota. Buffalo is what? We don't even know what they
Buffalo.
Are. Yeah, but we don't even know what they are, right?
Yeah, it's a good team, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. They were scraping by, especially to start the season, versus bad teams, and they were winning kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud has to do a ton of heavy lifting for this offense. It's like, hey, C.J., can you bail us out a third and long time and time again? And he's good enough to do it majority of the time, but versus the Packers in Lambeau without Nico Collins, I think that's a huge one here.
Yep.
But these are the two most explosive offenses going right now. Jordan Love is ready to throw a 50-yard touchdown at every turn.
Yeah, he might also throw a pick. And he might also throw 50% completions. He's been a little inconsistent at times. But I think the game I'm really looking forward to this week is the one that kicks off at noon. And that's between the Lions and the Vikings, because I am so excited.
Is that a noon
game? I'm so excited to see the Vikings finally get exposed as the complete frauds that they are.
Really?
I mean, you know, they are it's an embarrassment, the fact that they're undefeated at this point. And so
what's going on here?
Cody's over there in his Minnesota Vikings shirt, upset that we weren't referencing the Vikings.
Hang on,
so since he's going to try to dictate.
See, I can't see that.
Yeah, it says
blurry.
Minnesota. But since he was trying to dictate that we talk about Minnesota, I decided, all right, I'll tell everybody what frauds they are.
Do you really think they're frauds?
No, I don't. I actually think Minnesota beats the Lions this
Sunday. Oh, wow. Okay.
They're my number one team in the power rankings.
Well, if you think that, you should, and you can't place a bet because you're NFL guy, but it's only a 1.5-point spread.
There was Eric, we saw this the other day. Do you know who the top four teams in the NFL are in point differential?
Yeah, it's the NFC North.
The entire division is the top four. That's the four best teams in the NFL by point differential. It's that entire division, which is wild to me.
It is crazy. I actually need a little bit of help here because G-Bag Nation Survivor pick Friday in order to avoid a bet payoff. So I have to make a pick. Maybe you guys can assist me with this. Obviously, if Choppy is that confident that the Packers are going to win and cover at home, maybe that would be a decent Survivor pick. But that just seems insane because the Packers are going up against a respectable Texans team. So
but it's a small spread. It's like, what, three?
Yeah, yeah. You have them winning and covering. So I mean, I think that's you would probably throw that in the hat of teams that you might want to pick for Survivor this week. I need y'all's help.
My confident pick here.
Did you pick Cincinnati yet?
Would be Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I believe I have taken the Bengals. I need to confirm that. But yeah, the thing of just whoever the Browns are playing.
Bills beating the Titans feels like a pretty good.
Yeah,
bet.
Bills Titans.
Yeah, Bills Titans. Bills at home. I mean, my goodness, Will Levis is just he is hilarious to watch play football. But yeah, I guess that might not be a bad pick right there.
I can see Jets over Steelers. I would take that one if I needed a.
If you didn't want to burn one.
If I didn't want to burn one, yeah. Jets beating the Steelers.
Who San Fran got?
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
So, yeah. That's a win. That's a dub for San Francisco.
Yeah, you guys are nuts on that one.
Me?
San Francisco minus 1.5 at home.
Commanders versus the Panthers, obviously.
Oh, that's an easy one. Yeah, you haven't used Commanders. I guarantee 50, you haven't used Washington.
Commanders
yet.
May put 50 points up.
That's an easy one. Just pick whoever plays Carolina every week.
Yeah, Carolina and the Browns, those are really good ones.
Don't outthink the room. Don't try to pick a team that's got like a 60-40 game. Don't try to outthink the room here.
Shout out to Walchuk, who had the Broncos last night, and they ran away with that one versus a broken Saints team. It was a disgusting football game, but Walchuk is now in the clear for a bet payoff this week, so good for him. Now, with the Super Bowl rematch, though, San Francisco, Kansas City. This is two polar opposite quarterbacks with the way they're playing right now. Mahomes is throwing the ball 3.5 air yards at a time, and Brock Purdy's throwing almost 10 yards at a time.
Oh, Brock loves to air it out, baby.
He is this year.
I love him. Pay that man.
Different version of the Niners. Yeah, I'm now totally on the Purdy train in terms of, yeah, he's legit.
Yeah.
He's not just throwing screen passes and watching his guys run for a bunch of yards, and he's the beneficiary. He's pushing the ball down the field like a super beast this season, and I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, I think this is about the time where we're going to start seeing San Francisco catching up to some of their peripheral numbers. Like, they've played so much better than 3-3. That's a joke right there. Whenever the Cowboys try to say we're 3-3, like, that's a team that you're about to head into San Francisco and play. That's an example of like why 3-3 can't be how you define yourself, because those are two wildly different football teams.
I never subscribe to Parcells as you are, what your record says you are. I don't believe in that, because like you could be. I mean, especially early on in the season.
Yeah, most of the time over 17 weeks, I agree. 90% of the time, I agree.
But when you get to week 15, I think that number plays. At week 6, it doesn't play.
Right.
Because I mean, you could have. I mean, everybody's schedule is different this time of year. Some teams have played a really tough, like Kansas City's played a good schedule. There are teams out there that play good schedules, and then some have played dogs, and they've gotten to where they are by beating up on scrubs. Minnesota, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Minnesota's record. Their record, I mean, they have played San Francisco, they have played Houston.
They've beaten some teams down. They beat the hell out of
Houston. Beaten them down. So like there's nothing wrong with their record. It's not a fraudulent 5-6-0.
Do you think this is what we've been disagreeing on? I think Kansas City's good. I don't think Kansas City's great. I've got Kansas City 4th in my power rankings.
I would still have them number 1.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't mess around with the Mahomes stuff anymore. Him and Andy.
High five.
Reed. They're still getting
has five. Yeah. Hazmat 5. There
Hazmat
we go. 5.
I love it. Yeah, I'm still all over the Chiefs. I do think they should make a move for one of these wide receivers. Get a Deontay Johnson in here from Carolina. Maybe a Christian Kirk. Thought they would have been on the Amari Cooper stuff, but maybe their ego's big enough to think, hey, we could just win with Xavier Worthy and Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah. And honestly, they would be right to feel that way. But let's make it a little bit easier on ourselves here, and let's get a legit wide receiver in Kansas City. But I still think bare minimum there in the AFC Championship game once again. Shout out to the 682. What do you guys think about this? Got my first date tonight after starting over and buying a house. It's been a year. Wish me luck, boys. Ooh. Think I may have forgotten how to flirt.
Good
LOL.
Luck to you. And no, the game will return to you. Game
the
doesn't
game
leave,
will
buddy.
Return. The game never leaves.
Like, you tricked one of them once, you'll trick them again.
The first date. I mean, if you landed a first date, that tells me that your flirting skills are probably pretty strong. I mean,
or you're super attractive and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, or you're being set up on like a blind date situation and she doesn't have a choice and neither do you.
That'd be awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Blind.
I love blind date.
The blind date stuff. Oh, yeah. Now they say 60% of relationships right now are online. They're meeting online.
That makes sense.
And almost nobody's meeting in college anymore.
Think about like where we've come. Like 20 years ago, when Napoleon Dynamite was a big movie, and we're all laughing at Kip Dynamite on his computer, his little chat room relationship. But, like, that's just society now.
It's getting
the whole
serious.
Society now.
It's getting pretty serious.
All right, here it is. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live in Denton. We're at the Firehouse, number 3 in Denton, 35 McCormick. Here until the top of the hour, we'll crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece, led by Mike Bassett, coming up here in just a bit. But let's chat with Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com next right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thank you, Peyton. Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com set to join us here momentarily on your home of the Cowboys. We are live in Denton at the Firehouse, number 3, 35 and McCormick, and it has been fantastic today, dude. Back in the old stomping grounds from college and meeting all the Tolos. The turnout's been legendary as usual,
yep.
And the hospitality's been through the roof here. So shout out to all the fantastic firefighters here at the Denton Firehouse, number 3. This has been a special Friday.
Choppy about to call Julia Tran on me because I was just tapping his knee.
You were not tapping my knee. You were caressing my knee.
Oh, no.
There's a difference. you got to use the proper terminology here.
What was the caress
it was
for?
Like this.
Just
it
to
just,
get his attention? Oh, wait, you've done
no,
that
just
to
like,
me
hey,
before.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
I mean, especially yeah. The last segment, he put his finger in his finger in my mouth.
Oh, wow.
I was okay? adjusting when your was, mic.
Yeah, well, you were adjusting my mic. Yeah, you were picking food out of my teeth. That's what you were doing.
All right.
Very strange. Very.
I was auditioning for the third.
Mikey B leads the crosstalk here in a few minutes with KNC, but right now we welcome in the greatness of Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Nick, happy Friday, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic, man. We are. This bye week, what does the weekend have in store for you with no Cowboys action? You going to be – you state fairing it? You going out of town? Or are you just soaking in all the football?
Yeah, going to go see – going to go check out Oklahoma and check that out with my daughter. She's a senior, so we'll see about looking at going to Oklahoma as a college choice. So check out a football game and all that good stuff.
How much did last week's just beat down at the hands of the Longhorns make her cool a little on the school?
I don't think it matters that much. it didn't. Yeah, she's fine. So now sports does matter. There's no doubt that like that's a big factor here. If you can't have college game day, I don't know if she's interested. But I don't think the one game does a lot.
So she's out on the pick people.
I don't think we're out, but you know, it's a little far. So if you're referring to Arkansas, if that's your way to refer to Arkansas.
Yeah, I thought Tennessee grads referred to Arkansas as daddy.
We typically. Do. We generally do. But, you know, at least this year. At least this year.
You,
daddy Razorback.
I don't want any more of that. Hey, one game, that's good. I don't want to play him again. Like, we're good. We got ours.
Yeah.
So, Nick, I asked other Nick Harris at 8 a.m. I asked him this question and
– Wait, time out. Nick
yes.
Harris at 8 a.m.?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yes.
All right, this guy's worked with us for a year and a half. 8 a.m.? This guy was up at 8 a.m.? I don't think he's gone to bed yet.
Well, I mean, you know, he actually mentioned that he slept over the Jerry interview a little bit the other day. Because he had
Which also, ironically, was at 8 a.m.
Yeah, he had had a late Monday, okay. But this was...
By the way, who has a late Monday? Nobody has a late Monday.
I don't know. I offered him 7:20 or 8, and he jumped on 8. But I think he had to get in the car early this morning, and that's why he was up. But I did ask him, when you look at, obviously, there's... they're going to bank on, hey, we're getting guys back due to injury. You know, we'll get some health here, and we're doing some different things that we know will turn around for this team. Other than that, outside of those sort of things that just naturally come along with time and patience, what are things you think the Cowboys can reasonably fix during this bye week, and how can they close the margins between the top NFC teams?
Well, I think you said it best first. I mean, like they are hoping to get their core players back, but you know the little technique things here and there that aren't working so far with you know, it's 1 second here on a block or you know, not shedding a block here. It's just little things here and there that I think that they can do. Sorry, guys, trying to figure out this car wash here. I think there's a lot of
what?
I'm at the car wash and they're trying to like get into the car. I'm like, just give me a second here. there's like a thousand. This is like a thousand things to do today. This is like number 9 on the list. So sorry, but no, this is a huge week as far as what this team can do to get better. It's the little things, and I know that sounds very cliche. But I think that those things do add up. I think that they need to work on, you know, obviously their red zone stuff, their you know, run stopping ability on defense. But I think the biggest thing is getting these guys back there, getting some continuity, figuring this out. Because, you know, I thought something that DeMarcus Ware said to you guys was very important the other day. I guess it was yesterday or whenever he talked to you. When he talked about the fact that it's one thing to say next man up, but those guys aren't leaders, and they're not supposed to be leaders,
right.
And they're not, you know, proven to be leaders. And so when the bullets are flying and it's 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 2 at their 5-yard line, who are you leaning to say, make a play? And we've seen DeMarcus Lawrence make that play. We've seen Micah Parsons make that play. We've seen Deron Bland make some plays. So when they're not here, who's doing it? And I think that was very telling. It sounds so simple, but it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And speaking from a guy that's always sort of been that guy to step up and make the play.
Yeah, next man up works, like, just usually from the quarterback perspective. Like, if Joe Flacco is the backup, and, you know, Joe's been through the ringer, he's a respected veteran, that's when next man up works. Next man up doesn't necessarily work when it's just some young kid, rookie, that no one's going to – that needs to be put in a leadership position that no one's going to follow.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys over here that you know, have leadership qualities, but you're like, you're the third running back, or you're the middle – you know, you're a middle linebacker that's not making a lot of plays yourself. So, you know, when everyone always talks about leadership, who are the best leaders of all time – they always name guys that are like Hall of Famers, you know, vocal Hall of Famers, because it works with Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and maybe a Peyton Manning or Magic Johnson. But it doesn't always work if you're making a mistake as well. So that's why leadership is pretty tricky.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Nick, obviously they are off this week. They'll have the 49ers coming up next week. Given what a thorn in the side and what a, you know, sort of just difficult spot the 49ers have been for the Cowboys the last couple of years and sort of haunted them a little bit, how much can a lot of these culture things or a lot of these, you know, these issues that it feels like they have in terms of the vibe that just exists around this football team right now, how much of that can get a massive boost and be fixed if they were to go into San Francisco and finally beat the 49ers?
Oh, it would be huge. Because you were putting it very nicely by saying thorn in the side. I mean, that's sweet. You know, they've been worse than that. You know, obviously by knocking them out of the playoffs two years and then last year's game. So it would be a huge boost for this team and for this fan base, which needs it as well. You know, I mean, they need to see something. And yeah, of course, it would be like, well, it wasn't with McCaffrey, or they're hurt, or whatever. They're not the same, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the Cowboys need any kind of jolt that they can get. And I think going to San Francisco, and I'm not saying that they have to go and you know, like, this play well for a moral victory. I'm not saying that, because at this point, you got to go win games. But I would be huge for this team to show that they can do that, to so that they can kind of rally and use the bye to help themselves and figure out a way to win. They've done it on the road so far this year, but they haven't faced a team like the 49ers and a quarterback, you know, like Purdy on the road.
It's Nick Eatman at DallasCowboys.com with us here on The Fan. He's brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort, proud to be the partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, does Tyler Guyton get his job back?
Does seem that way, yes. Yeah, he's their left tackle. I guess he was not 100% with his knee. He was able to practice some, but they wanted to go with a different route. But you know, that led to 3 field goals, so I don't think that worked either. I think the development of Tyler Guyton will continue. That's the best way he's going to play, you know, to get better at football, to play football. And so, yeah, I think he gets his job back. Tyler Smith goes back to left guard. And with him, it's kind of that question a couple of minutes ago about the little things. I mean, he's got to figure out how to hold better. Okay, they all hold. Every tackle, every lineman holds. You figure out how to do it better. Keep your hands inside.
I love it.
It's a technique.
You're right.
But it's true. It's
yep,
true.
You're right.
Figure out, that's part of the learning curve there, and figuring out how to do that. You can't just out-athlete people like he was probably doing a lot of times at Oklahoma. It's a lot different here. These athletes are bigger and stronger, and they have their techniques down. So he's learning on the fly here, but I think he's got to, you know, next to Tyler Smith, I think really helps him. I think Tyler Smith at left guard helps both those guys to his right and his left, those two rookies. So I think that's the route that they're going to go.
Nick, you know, there's been a lot of negativity, obviously, surrounding this team and the struggles that they've had. But one of the things, like, Broadus and I were talking about recently, somebody had asked us, they said, show me somebody who's performed above expectation, just as we're kind of looking back and evaluating the season right now. Who's somebody that's actually been a positive? And we were kind of kicking that around. Who do you stand out as in a disappointing year where they've gotten some underwhelming performances from some key guys? Who do you look at and say, that's a bright spot and they need more of that moving forward?
Right. Well, we had a question like that similar on our website about guys that have kind of exceeded expectations, and there weren't a lot to choose from. But for me, I mean, Jalen Tolbert has been better than I guess I thought he was going to be. And that's a guy that you need to continue to build on. And you know, he could be your number two, I think, next season, this season, really, and next season as well. He would be a guy there. But there's really not a lot, honestly. I mean, Aubrey is way better than I thought he was, because I still think he's going to miss 57-yard field goals. Like, when they lined up to kick, I'm like, I wouldn't do that. I'd punt, you know. And then the guys around me are like, he's made it 18 in a row. I'm like, yeah, but – and then he makes it. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he's amazing. Like, I knew he was good, but he's been unbelievably amazing. And just imagine where they would be without him. I mean, they're 3-3, and it doesn't feel like 3-3. You guys know that, and you guys – have experienced that obviously this week. I mean, it doesn't feel like a 3-3 team, but it is. And the reason why, Aubrey's a huge reason why, he's kept them in some games and made some clutch kicks. I mean, think about what a 55-yard field goal does if you miss. You know, I mean, just you miss that kick, you're basically handing them a field goal, if not a touchdown, just with the field position there. And so he's been such a weapon. I know that's not, and that's one of the reasons why this team hasn't played as well, is because you asked me that question and I gave you a third-year receiver who's been pretty good and a kicker. You know, I mean, that's who else? I mean, who else makes the list? I mean, I don't know.
Well, Nick, we appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend in Norman, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
All righty. Yes, sir. It is Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from the Denton Firehouse on a football Friday. Big shout out to Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp, and all the Tolos that made their way over here today. Denton Firehouse number 3, 35 and McCormick. It's been absolutely fantastic. Awesome Friday. And we will crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece led by Mikey B next right here on The Fan.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
Well, It's Mike Bacsik, and that's the game of the year. I can't imagine. Now, we'll see.
Better than the Mets Braves on that Monday?
I believe so.
Like 2 weeks ago?
Better than Cowboys Lions?
Oh my God, Bobby.
Well,
I mean, look, you might be right. It was a tremendous game. There was such great theater last night.
I feel like this is going to be tough for you, Choppy. I know you grew up a big Yankees fan and still have a heart of a Yankee.
Yankees suck.
Last year, the game of the year, now you could say game one of the World Series is a strong competitor to this game, but game five against the Houston Astros, I think, was the game of the year in baseball last year. It stinks that Altuve hit the game-winning home run, but you had Verlander. You had a pitcher battle between Jordan Montgomery. You had the huge home run of Adolis Garcia. You have the hit by pitch. You have people getting thrown out of the game. You have stalling techniques. You have Altuve hitting the big home run. Then you have the tying run on second, and the Astros get out of that, and you're just like, I'll tell you what, it really stinks when your team loses and your heart is broken. But when you look back, you go, that game five, Texas and Houston, was the game of the year. You could say that game one of the World Series is a strong competitor of that game. And I think there's, to me, strong competitors. But when you get to the best closer in baseball versus the MVP of the American League, and then you get that dramatic game-tying home run, and then you get back-to-back, like kind of out of nowhere. Like, there's no way Clase is going to give up another home run. He's impossible to hit. And then you get to Big Christmas Noel hitting a tying home run in the ninth inning with two outs. And then you get to David Fry, who in the eighth inning struck out with runners on first and second, and then he gets a pitch that he can hammer. To me, that's tough to beat. In sports.
There was great theater, the range of emotions in the game, like you said, that the tying home run. Clase gave up five runs all year. He's given up six runs in the playoffs this year.
Wow. Yeah.
He gave up five runs the entire year. And now this is three home runs he's given up in basically his last two of his last four appearances he's given up three home runs
and,
now.
And now you do have to wonder if he pitches today. Where's his confidence at?
Right.
It's crazy because only five runs, you'd say his confidence is just fine. But we've seen this before with whether it's a field goal kicker, whether it's a guy putting who never misses 2-foot putts. And then all of a sudden they miss one or two and then they miss three or four. And you're just like, what has just happened here? You know, and it wouldn't be like, you know, Yips would be kind of Chuck Knoblauch, Rick Ankiel. But it's just like, how is this guy not getting the job done when he is the best? So hopefully, you know, Clase gets a chance today or tomorrow to close out another game and gets, you know, I think everybody wants to see that matchup again. Game on the line, Judge versus Clase.
And you got to wonder if Weaver's confidence is shook a little because he's given up two home runs in his last two appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a fun day of baseball again today and night of baseball today. Now, obviously, the second game became a blowout. There was a chance at 7-2 when Winker came up as a pinch hitter. I thought, oh, my gosh, when he hit the ball, we got ourselves a ball game. But that ball just kind of died at the warning track. And then I thought, is Mookie Betts leaving the field? Like, where is he going? They never showed him, but he just ran directly to the right field corner after catching that ball. But today at 10:45, Chop, I think you'll like this. My dad coached David Fry in high school. So he was his summer league coach. So my father is going to come on at 10:45 and talk about David Fry, who went to Grapevine High School. How about Max Muncy, who's got on base 77 million times in a row in the playoffs? He's from
Keller.
Like a lot of these guys that you're watching these moments are from our Metroplex.
Yep.
Well, my dad's going to discuss at 10:45, talking a little bit about the game, how nobody wanted David Fry at 17, 18 years old. He tried his best for all of these schools around here. He's saying, I'm telling you, this kid is a gamer. He's a good player. He can play multiple positions. He loves the game. He's going to be a hard worker. My dad was like, I think he can be a major leaguer. And he couldn't convince UTA. He couldn't convince UT. He couldn't convince any school in the state of Texas pretty much to give David Fry a scholarship.
So where did he go?
I think it was Northwestern Louisiana. I think he ended up getting a college scholarship. But, like, my dad was begging college coaches around the state of Texas, and nobody really wanted David Fry at 18 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That and now is crazy.
He's a all-star. He's a, you know, an extra inning home run.
Iconic home run right there.
And it just goes to show you, and this is where we'll talk about it kind of at 17 and 18.
Northwestern State, yes. Sorry,
yeah, if you don't want to give up, if you're good, sometimes don't give up. It's really – football and basketball are very different from baseball. There's still a lot of development that goes on from age 17 to 21 where not all of the time, but more of the time, there's not as much development. Not that you've reached your full peak at 19 or 20 years old in football or in basketball, but there can be way more development in baseball. Yeah. In your 20s than there is in the other sports that we really care and love. All right, guys. So how are you guys feeling about the USA Today thing? Because that came out after your show.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this was said at the same time he said the stuff to Russini. And it's just it took a couple days before Jarrett Bell wrote it. I clearly think it's a silly comparison. Especially, I mean, I think taking Sham off the broadcast initially was kind of silly to begin with, and that's 30 years later that still hasn't registered as a bad comparison to make. So, I still think he's probably heated, upset in the moment. He's coming to acceptance that I don't have a good football team, and it's largely my doing. And I think that's a frustrating fact for him right now, and it's upsetting to him. And so I'm fine giving him grace for the idea of, you like be mad. You can be mad for a day. It's just if that carries over into next week or the week after, and this is just the new way that he thinks the media should deal with him, now we have a serious problem.
You know when an umpire makes a bad call and the manager goes out and argues with him and the umpire knows he's wrong, but now he's getting yelled. He's going to have a short fuse. He's going to
throw him out.
That manager's getting tossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he knows he blew it and he doesn't want you to call him out on it. And I think that's the same thing here. Jerry knows he screwed up in the offseason.
Yeah.
People called him out on it and he got mad.
And I think people get upset about the word lie or liar. That's a very harsh word. But I say that.
I lie to myself every day.
Whether it's you name the general manager, I don't care if it's Jerry Jones or whoever, all
Chris
general
Young.
Managers,
yeah.
they have to be professional liars. And what I mean by that is, if Jerry Jones would have just answered it like this, whether he's lying or telling the truth, we wouldn't know. We can assume whatever. But if he said, I just am surprised that he still didn't just go with this professional approach. Guys, we're 3-3. We're disappointed with the way we're playing. I know that you're asking about guys we should have added. I believe in these guys, and it's only 6 games, and they haven't played up to the standard that we're hoping, and we're hoping that the last 11 games that these guys play to the standard that we believe that they can play at.
That was damn fine work right there,
Mike. He could be knowing that they stink and aren't going to get better.
Well, I think that's the way
you would professionally answer it as a general manager.
I think that's why he got – because, I mean, that's kind of what we asked him that – first got him mad was we just said look, if you keep telling us it's execution, if your execution is so poor so consistently that it leads to getting beat at home by 25 to the Saints and 38 to the Lions, like at what point do you just have to say these aren't the right players? This is just who they are. And that's when he went, well, we can't get 20 players before San Francisco. And then Sean goes, okay, well, what about the past offseason? And that's kind of what got him started. I mean, I think we kind of set him up with that exact, like, we set him up to give us that answer, and he didn't.
100%.
That's the thing I just can't make. Look, this is coming from a guy that pounded his fist on the table and thought he broke his hambait bone a couple weeks ago because Choppy was telling me the SEC was good. So I know irrational anger.
I don't know what I was thinking.
It hits all of us from time to time. So, like I said, I'm fine saying, hey, here's grace for you to say that you can get angry. You can be mad. That's fine. I'm not going to hold it against your character.
Corey,
I think it was a silly thing to say.
The music's playing. Corey, what's coming up on the show?
We have David Koechner joining us today in studio at 12:20. We could go all the way through Mike Likes It with that if it goes well. That is Todd Packer and Champ Kind, if you remember that from Anchorman. So we're looking forward to hanging out with him today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Crosstalk brought to you by nobody. If you'd like to sponsor it, give us a call. The last four numbers are 1053. All right. Coming up next, the KNC Masterpiece.